Oh, yes.
Is there a picture?
That's the picture.
There's a picture.
Oh. Feels good, man. Feels good, man. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 57, and this is a podcast about music news and music culture. And I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we had a lot more music, not a lot of culture, a lot less culture than last time. That was a really horrible episode.
Don't remind me.
Mistakes were made, but we keep moving on.
I really hope you cut like 10 minutes of that, because there's about 10 minutes of it that was unusable.
Yeah, the No Chill Island, I was a little bit slow this week, but I've uploaded it to YouTube, so you can see the first No Chill Island on video. It's a lot of censorship, but it's great. This week, there'll be less censorship, because hopefully we won't be saying something horrible. But we have new singles, new EPs, a little bit of curveballs, and like
Miranda
music
shit.
We haven't heard of, like heard a lot of before. So we're gonna just check that out and see what's going on. Let's start with Chance the Rapper released this 4-song project. I don't know what it's all called, like in total, but the 4 songs that were released were, if I can pull them up, I Might Need Security, which looks like an abstract version of the Arthur meme.
Speaking of Arthur.
Yeah, I also have the Arthur theme song in my head, which we'll be reviewing later on.
I haven't heard it in 15 years, probably. And then he starts singing to it, and I'm like, I can probably say every lyric to this song now.
I'm going to ruin a lot of people's brains right now.
A lot of...
Will I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. And Wallachem. Hey, no. Anyways. I Might Need Security, Workout, Wallachem, and 65th and Ingleside are...
Inglewood?
Ingleside. It's Chicago.
Ingleside!
Not gonna rip headphone users. But...
I can rip headphone users so fast.
But...
Super pause.
So, Chance the Rapper, for me, has always just kind of been a little bit overrated.
He's bland as fuck.
Yeah, it's just kind of like... bland and dull, and he has the style for sure, and I get it, you can like the style, but it's just not something that I really necessarily like.
These singles, I really haven't listened to it much, because I thought it was all bland, and it's still bland, these singles I listen to.
Yeah.
All of it's, I don't like his rapping, it's really monotone, and it just sounds like, this one, it almost sounds like spoken word in a way.
Yeah.
It's just, that's his voice, and I mean, it's a style, I get it, it's... If some people like his style, I know actually not some, a lot of people like his style.
Many people like his style.
But it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, me neither. But I mean, yeah, that's really all I can say is that these songs were okay, fine. If you like Chance the Rapper, it's more Chance the Rapper. And apparently he's got some like work coming out soon, I think. Like, I think his last album, like his final album he's coming up with. And he's also talking about making music with Kanye West. So I don't know.
Oh, Jesus. Everybody stop.
But...
Put Kanye in Wyoming without anything in the middle of the forest and say, get home.
The forest of Wyoming?
Yeah. Drop him off in the forest of Wyoming with like some man-eating people or something, I don't know.
I'm gonna check to see if Wyoming has forests, but
it should.
I do wanna
actually,
mention-
I don't know.
There was one little fun thing that Chance the Rapper has decided to purchase a local news site, Chicagoist, and it's part of this like chain of news websites. There's LAist, there's like a New Yorkist thing, and it's weird because
it sounds like some hipster bullshit.
I mean, I think local news is good. We need more coverage of local news.
It's just the name of it. Chicagoist, New Yorkist, Wyomingist.
Gothamist is the New York one.
Gothamist.
Yeah, and nice.
But, Joey Karate videos. I'm like, why is my laptop going
karate
off? Yo, fucko.
A lot of rich people own media companies. I was reading, and like that's what it is now. It's just, I mean, that's always happened, obviously, but it's just like a lot of eccentric celebrities who now all of a sudden, oh, I have a paper now. Like there's Jeff Bezos, there's now Chance the Rapper. I was reading something.
You know, she saw my faces and there's Jeff Bezos. I'm like, where is he? Where's my blade? Where's my guillotine? And my mop of pitchforks saying, Viva la Revolution.
See, some people understand the joke, but Yeah, it's just really
too fucking soon. Jesus Christ. I'm gonna go home, guys.
It's just really this is a weird thing. I was reading an article in about John Huntsman, who's like Trump's Russian like ambassador. And I was reading it in the paper and I realized, oh wait, John Huntsman's brother owns this newspaper. So, you know, there's a little network of...
That's in Web of Everybody. That's why we just got to upset the established order and create chaos for a couple of years, and then everything turns around and better.
You know, we just need a couple... I'm not going to even seriously talk about this, because apparently that doesn't play well. Anyways, Drom released a new EP, which is, I like this episode. We're going to be talking a lot about music, specifically.
Musica.
Yeah. And so...
Drom.
Yeah, Big Dram. Baby Drom. Dram. Released a 3-song EP called That's a Girl's Name.
I love that album. Every time I look at it, it makes me laugh. I was putting it on my phone, it's like, That's a Girl's Name. I go, okay.
Yeah, featuring 3 songs, Best Hugs, What Would You Do, and Sundress, which I thought were really good.
By the way, I like Sundress a lot. A for the title, because sundresses are...
Yeah.
I think sundress... Okay, real talk. I think sundresses are every guy's weakness in the world, because anytime I tell a guy, like... straight guy we're talking about, he's like sundresses, and we all go,
Yeah.
And that song is fucking dope too.
Yeah.
It's funny. But anyway.
The sundress side is very fun, but like I think everyone has their own like, oh, I like this particular style of clothing on a person. Sundresses are very good. And summer, so.
Exactly. And sundress season. Sundress season is great. Over here in Hotland.
Yeah.
There's no rain.
Hotsburg.
Hotsburg. Welcome to the Hotsburg.
Welcome to Fire Beach.
Welcome to the world of the Fire Beach.
Oh, man. So what do you think about the, like, the EP itself?
It's good. I mean, I've always liked Dram. Drom. D-R-A-M. Whatever you want to call them.
Dram.
Yeah. Because I'm bad at pronouncing Drum, anyways.
Drummy.
If it's Justin, we call it Drum. one of our friends.
One of our friends who's a dumbass. Well, all of our friends are dumbasses, but...
Yes.
Anyways, I did like it. I liked all 3 songs, to be honest, which is nice. It's an EP, granted. Are they releasing a new album this year?
Drum, I'm not sure, but this is just like a 10-minute little thing that just came out. The last thing to come out was Big Baby Drum, which came out 2 years ago, 2016.
Yeah, so they could probably... They might do something then.
Potentially.
But yeah, I liked it.
I didn't like Drom originally, just because my first introduction to him was Broccoli, the Lil Yachty song.
Oh, and that's not like Lord.
It's somewhat catchy, but it was also just really overplayed.
It's super overplayed.
Just not the best.
That's your first introduction.
It's not Drom's best showing, honestly. But this is completely different and better, and I'm glad that I've gotten more into Drom, especially from the Gorillaz collaboration with Andromeda and Dramada. But this... These songs are really good. He sings very soulfully and passionately, and he's got this like playful style to it that's very like unique. Where a lot of, like literally every other single song, like you know the tropes you have about like the way men are kind of talking about women, I guess. And this goes away from that.
This doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And I was just surprised because you made a name, song name called Sundress. I'm like, I'm down, but this is gonna get weird.
Best Hugs is one of the most savage songs I've ever heard.
I wish I could play it right now.
Yeah, it's basically like, it's called Best Hugs, and it's like, oh, your girl gives the best hugs, but it's like, it goes way further than that.
It's like, your girl gives the best hugs. Because you gotta, you walk up on the door and you be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? You didn't even hit him, exactly. Who do you think you're dealing with? I'm a fucking savage.
It's the bucket technique.
Bucket technique. I've got a green belt in buckets.
You know who probably had the bucket technique done on them, except with a pistol?
Oh, Lord. The Saint Laurent pistol.
This was late breaking news, courtesy of TMZ with the hottest pictures. Tekashi 6ix9ine got pistol whipped, kidnapped, robbed, and hospitalized.
Oh, man.
And so
people still get pistol whipped. That's awful.
Hey,
man, I can say, hey, man, don't rob.
We are in... America, rap culture has not been this ratchet since like 2002, 2004, 2005, that time period. We're way back. We're so back. So just reading off of TMZ, he was working on a music video shoot in Brooklyn, and around 4 a.m., he rapped for the night, drove home. 3 hooded gunmen got out of the car. When he got to the driveway, pistol whipped him, knocking him unconscious.
Damn, I know where he lives.
He was in the back seat of his car when the gunmen were driving around, telling them they didn't get what they wanted from him, they would kill him. So that's why he woke up there. And they took about $750,000 in jewelry, but Tekashi's the mom of Tekashi 6ix9ine's daughter. That's a rough genetic pool. They're all fine. They're okay. But what was the part of it? The gunman drove away with Tekashi still in the back seat. 6ix9ine was able to open the back door and jump out, and then he jumped in the passenger seat of a stranger's vehicle and begged for help. And the guy called 911, but then said, "Get the fuck out of my car."
Yeah, literally told Tekashi to get out of the car at the intersection. So he's like, "Okay, I'll call 911, but you need
get the fuck out of my car.
You need to get the fuck up out of here."
Yeah,
that's hilarious. No one's safe.
That Straight went.
Up, no one's safe.
So Tekashi 6ix9ine had this like back and forth beef thing with some artist. I honestly can't keep track of all these.
I don't know. He has major beef with a lot of people apparently.
It's something about these SoundCloud rappers and
Dude,
getting
who knows.
In. Oh, there's this nice article from Hot New Hip Hop called "A List of Everyone Who Has Beef with Tekashi 6ix9ine and Why." So you got Triple Red. There's Pierre Bourne. There's Casanova. And I think Triple Red, AC High, The Game, and YG. Why does YG hate? I mean, why not?
Probably because of women half the time, I bet.
Yeah, that's usually
women,
it.
Drugs, money.
The Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity of a moment. What happens if you step on your brand new Jordans?
Watch closely. The Boondocks is great. But yeah, a lot of people have beef with them. So this could have been anyone. And, you know, that happened. Anyways.
Oops.
Completely unrelated note. Radiohead. So many years ago. Like in 2012.
2012. Radiohead. That was already six. 2012 was 6 years ago.
That's so a lot. That's a lot for me to process right now.
6 years ago, they were going on the Keen and Limbs tour. Like, just sink that in.
That's... Man.
Also, 2012, really bad year. We don't bring up 2012. But the fact that it's 6 years ago, that's amazing.
And 6 years ago, when they were on the King of Limbs tour and they played in Toronto, there was a stage, like...
Malfunction.
Incident, yeah. Where, like, something fell. And the drum technician lost his life.
Mm-hmm.
And really, Radiohead, I think they had talked to suing Live Nation, the people who were there, and they've gotten no answers about it whatsoever.
And still haven't.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's really nice to see, you have this idea of celebrities and musicians being like, oh, we're just about ourselves and our thing, but you can really tell that this person, the stage person, was like part of the family of Radiohead. And they really care, and they absolutely want answers, as they should get, like, to make sure it doesn't happen again, to just, like, get understanding. It's just, you have to respect this person's, like, life, and that's what you would do. Yeah, Live Nation, fix your face.
Yeah, it's sad, but I'm glad they returned to Toronto, and then still, I remember Phil Selle went on some type of news and said...
BBC News Night.
It was a BBC, yeah, BBC. And they were like, hey, we want answers. We still don't know what's like.
We deserve answers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sad. It's not fair to the guy and his family as well. So
absolutely. And then on another note that also has to do with stages, and this is the direct opposite of what you would usually expect from, like, I was describing niceness and kindness, and now let's get to the Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, so we get to photographer Peters.
Yeah, photographer Kickers.
That's right.
But this is actually kind of a cool thing. Queens of the Stone Age threatened to cancel a festival performance because of the VIP section, and made the security, like, they made the security guards unrope the VIP section so that it could become like a big general admission thing. And the lead singer guy, Josh Homme, said, "It's a Queens of the Stone Age concert, and you can do whatever you want to. Let them in, look at my face, let them in, or I'll walk down there and let them all in."
I'm not playing until you let them in. You better let them in because you work for me tonight.
"The reason I told them to let people in there with you guys is I'm sick of everyone telling everyone what to do. I'm sick of everyone being offended. We travel thousands of miles to play your party, to give you a night to remember, and we won't leave until you're fucked up, high, dancing, making out with somebody, and having the best night of your life. Otherwise, you're just a bunch of domesticated animals."
Damn. Ooh.
Like, usually you hear these tropes of oh, I'm sick of people being offended all the time right before someone says something like actually extremely offensive. It's right. It's the new I'm not a racist but is what I'm trying to say. But this ended up fine. This is
no,
fine.
No, this is fine.
This is fine. That's a mantra I can live by.
Hey, he's right. Just make sure you don't put a camera in front of his face.
Oh, God, yeah. Speaking of censorship, I just like, it's a good segue, so I wanted to put this story in. There's a new ABBA thing, like a new ABBA movie, like Mamma Mia, I believe it's called. And...
Mamma Mia, the remake. Well...
The double remake.
Yeah, whatever. The part two of the remake.
Right. That's... Hollywood's fun. But they changed certain words to make them more politically correct. In some of the songs. And at first I was like, ugh, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. And then I look at it and I go, you know, actually this is a good idea. Not, the first one was just changing the word from bashful to curious in one song, from the name of the game. And now it's because I have to know I'm a curious child beginning to grow instead of a bashful child. So it's trying to get rid of the kids having sexual proclivities parts, which I think is less politically correct. It's more just like, maybe.
Come on, man. Live a little.
Oh, God.
Live a little.
I guess it's... This is such a minefield of a conversation. But I guess it's better than a older person creeping on a little kid.
Yeah, always. You never want that. You don't want...
Yeah.
Young pedos.
Then the second one that changed was... One of these days, gonna tell him I dream of him every night. One of these days, gonna show him I care. Gonna teach him a lesson, all right. Which was a reference to the song When I Kiss the Teacher, which is the girl falling in love with the teacher. So they changed that to, what a mad day. Now I see everything in a different light. What a mad day. I was up in the air and she taught me a lesson, all right. So that's a female teacher, so I guess that's politically correct.
No, fuck it.
No, God.
Keep the lyrics the same, damn it.
I think it was more effort than it was worth.
But. Yeah, I mean... Also, you could use a different song, or you could, I don't know. It's, well, it's whatever. It's not that, it really isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not like, yeah. It's not, nothing crazy. And
there are old albums that have been released where we look at that and go, oh, wow, how was that come out? That are really, that are talking about the other thing, like pedophilia, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of them. Tons of popular rock songs. You listen to them and go, wait, that's allowed? And this is... Not near that category, I think, but whatever. Let's talk about the internet's new album, Hive Mind. It's 13 songs, 57
I've
minutes
I've never
long.
Heard of the fucking internet before this.
I heard them.
I mean, the band, the internet, as we are a podcast, and I use the Instagram account, so don't kill me.
And I'm literally Dan from the internet, so don't offend my people.
Don't offend your people. The people, you mean four-fifths of the human population?
Oh, yeah, because...
Because, you know, half of India and half of China don't have access to internet.
Yeah, because of the neoliberal trading order. I just read a really woke article on, like, the world trading system and how it's been skewed towards... never mind, this is not that podcast.
It's not that podcast. I'm down, I mean, I'm here. You want to go in?
Welcome to the Syndicate 23 Political Report.
Like, I want
to
go in? It's like, who was I was talking to Allie about something, and I can't remember what it was, but it was something... I said the word neoliberalism or something. I'm like, if I keep going, I'm gonna go on a tangent. She's like, I'm kind of down for you to go on a tangent. Like, no, you're not. You're gonna sit here for 5 hours.
You don't want it.
You don't want it. No one's ready. He wasn't ready.
Chomsky time with Sean. Okay, so it's like this funky, laid back but still energetic
cool
kind of song. Like album. Yeah, it's really
it's
good.
It's really good. Yeah, I had no idea. Okay. Going back on, I had no idea who they were. I've never heard of them before. And the first song I put on, I'm like, I don't know what to expect. Anything, I go, oh, it's funk.
Yeah.
I'm down. I haven't heard modern funk.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Or if it does, it's really underground. There's no words there. And this is really good. It's solid. Probably my favorite, well, you know, usually I go like my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah.
Definitely the second song.
Roll Burbank Funk.
Is really good. Get you in the movie, you just want to, you hear it, you want to get it, stand up, and you just want to start moving. You want to get a block party and start dancing around
right.
People. It's one of those albums where it gets you in a happy mood, and every song kind of, it goes in a flow, which is nice. So we've had problems with albums before where we'd always say second half is better than the first half or this or that, because there would be kind of two sides to an album or
happens
different
a lot.
Sounds, especially this year. There's a lot of that. A lot of producers have taken that role. Hivemind doesn't do that. It's just one kind of flowing album. The other album we interviewed does the same thing, which is really flowy, which is nice to hear in this day and age of double albums, which are bad for fans, and albums that just feel too chopped up into little pieces. And this feels like a complete work.
Yeah.
And it's great. Really, really good. Thank you for putting it down. I had no idea who they were, so this was a pleasant surprise.
The artistry around making albums is something that I will continue to, like, double down on.
Yeah.
We talked about this, how, like, we will, like, it's almost come to expect that some albums will be long, but you don't.
Naturally. Some albums just have to be long. It depends on the songs, but, which is fine.
Most albums don't need to be long.
And then
I can't name one long album that's come out this year where I go, this needed to be 30 songs.
Oh, you think 30 songs is long? No, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Nothing should be 30 songs long, unless it's like a film soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Unless the soundtrack, it doesn't need to be more than 15 songs really ever.
Yeah. 15 is usually my max.
Yeah.
And even then it's like, the perfect number is 11 or 12.
Like Demon Days was 14 or 15, and it's like, yep, there we go.
Yeah, the Demon Days was the max.
Yeah. But this was this weird mix of funk and then little bits of R&B, and yeah, it was just really fresh. I think my favorite song was Stay the Night, because it has that kind of, like, it's a really sexy song. It's really good.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
This entire album is just gold.
There aren't a lot of, like, there are a few gems where, like, I listen to it after a week of reviewing it, and then I go back to it a lot. This is going to be one of those,
this
for
is,
sure.
Oh, this is 100% going to be those. We're going to be on this for a couple months, honestly.
Yeah.
We're probably going to listen to this album the rest of the year, where we'll just be like, we'll drive and I'll put it on or something.
Yeah. And you know,
it's one of those albums, and that's rare for this year, because this year, there's a lot of music that's forgettable, honestly.
You're not going to forget this.
And this, yeah, there's a couple albums I got. I'm not, like this, Arctic Monkeys.
I was going to say Arctic Monkeys.
MGMT.
Yeah.
Definitely. Those are, right now, I think those are my three favorites. And then Gorillaz and a couple others. But those three come to mind immediately because I keep going back to at least, like, Star Treatment for Arctic Monkeys, the first song on it. And then for MGMT, like Me and Michael or something, or Time Spent on My Phone.
Or Little Dark Age.
Or Little Dark Age, like one of those songs.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those. I'll probably do Roll, in parentheses, Burbank Funk, Stay the Night, and maybe even the first song come together is really good. So that's a big mark of an album if you can get us to keep going back to it.
Yeah, and that's just makes a good album in general, because you want something you can revisit. And there's one last audio face thing that this ticks perfectly well that we talked about a little bit in the beginning, but I want to just really bring that point home. It's fucking different.
It is very different.
I can't compare this to anything I've heard that's come out this year. Mm-hmm. And it's such a relief, because I have music that I want to listen to when I'm like in a certain mood, in my hype mood, and then I go back to certain songs. And lately that's been...
You have the Staples.
Yeah, the Vince Staples. And like, lately it's been Trap, because like that kind of gets me in going in my mood. It's like all reliable. But when I'm not, when I'm just listening to music kind of like recreationally, this as opposed to listening to music for work, which is, it makes sense in the way I'm saying this. I have been crying for variety, like just really seeking it out. I think a lot since we took that week break a couple weeks back, and I started just going into old things that were like electronic but a little different. But yeah, funk came completely out of the corner for me, and this was executed so well.
It doesn't feel dated. That's the biggest. It feels modern. It feels new.
Yeah.
Which is huge. Yeah, so, but, I mean, we've had gems throughout the year. I mean, we're going to have a couple other stuff throughout the year, too, which I'm looking forward to. Muse in November.
Yeah.
Muse. Isn't Brock
allegedly.
Hampton, allegedly. Brockhampton's next week, right?
I don't know if it's next week, but it's got to be, it should be sometime soon. It was supposed to come out in July. Well, it was supposed to come out in June, and then that got pushed to July. But okay. Even if it's not July, then it's August. And in August, we have maybe Brockhampton and Rez, which I'm excited to hear.
And then 1975 in October, and then supposedly Muse in November.
We're in like the deep...
We're in the deep days of summer right now. Yeah.
There's a little bit of a lull in the summer because like everyone's rushing to get their hits out so they can be overplayed during the summer.
Which, yeah, I mean, well, we can't talk about singles, so... People release singles, we don't give a shit.
Yeah, there are a lot of singles
As much as I really want to talk about a single, I'm not going to.
There's a single from the 1975 that came out. We don't care because of the sanctity of the podcast, yeah, but
it's woke as fuck. And I can't wait for October because there's going to be like a 3-hour podcast. I swear to God, if these two songs line up to the rest of the album, and we're like, damn, we're going to need like a podcast just named this album. Brief Online into Audio Face. Brief Online Inquiry into Audio Face. That's the name of that episode.
That would be great. Okay, we didn't... I totally blanked out. I need to come up with a ranking system for this.
Oh, shit. That's right. Let's do... Petrodollars. How many petrodollars is this out of 10?
10 petrodollars?
10 petrodollars. That's a lot of petrodollars.
So let's just go back to Drum really fast. I'm going to give that... Like, honestly, 10 petrodollars. I don't have anything... I can't say anything
I
hate about it.
I was going to say, like, 8 or 9.
I'm like...
Only thing is because it's an EP, so I can't give it a full 10 because it's not technically an album. And I don't know how we rank EPs usually, but I mean, we do.
We don't really do EPs that often, but like, yeah. I'm just going to give it a normal-ass ranking because it doesn't matter anyways. It literally doesn't matter.
Literally, we make this ranking system because how the hell are you going to go from drone strikes in Iraq to petrodollar to hockey sticks breaking to, I think I did...
Boarded up ATMs.
I did Formula One cars. That's too soon right now because Vettel crashed out of his race and Hamilton didn't get a penalty, but I don't...
No politics.
What because of the Syndicate 23 Formula One report. Brought to you by Santander. Santander, bank well.
That's the shittiest bank ever.
It's such a, I'm so glad Ferrari doesn't have Santander on
the
cars
Santander
anymore.
There's like Santander and then there's HSBC.
HSBC is so rough. They used to, one of the worst car in history. Jaguar F1 team in the mid-2000s that had HSBC sponsorship. If you want a car that is reliably going to break down, it has also had a Ford engine in it. So it's like just double, like triple fucked.
But HSBC was just using Formula One to like help launder money for everything else they were doing. Like this is the front. It's like, oh no, these are Formula One expenses. Really, $5 million for a sticker going to Mexico. Interesting.
Interesting. And there was no Mexico Grand Prix in 2005, so you can't even, there's no buy. Right exactly. Now, it's like, it's
do going not
to Mexico.
Pass
it's like,
go.
It's going to Mexico. It's like, when's the race? In 3 weeks.
All right, maybe.
Good. All right. I get it. You got to ship your front wings there. It's like, 2003, when's the race? Probably in 11 years. Sounds kind of fishy.
Right.
Anyways, so how many petrodollars for Hivemind? I'm going to say.
I would say.
8.5 or 9.
I'm going to give it a 9.
It's like. Probably solid 9, honestly, because I don't want to get half a petrodollar because Jimmy Dore, I'll give him a stroke and break his back even more, sell out.
No, I'll just use that half a petrodollar to buy a new BMW.
He'll just say, I got to get out of work because I have a hernia.
I don't care.
Put me on the fucking progressive aggressives. Make me the host now. I'm down.
You have no idea how much of a possibility that can potentially
it
be.
It could legit happen because I know how to censor myself.
Yeah, this is...
job requirements. Do you know how to censor yourself? I have proof.
This podcast has been a 50, 60 plus episode exercise in self-censorship.
It really has been.
That has occasionally gone well.
And occasionally Dan starts to derail, and then I just come in and like just drop kick the door, like, kia, bitch. And be like, but first, the ship's coming down.
Kick down the door
man.
With a bucket. Hit the bucket on the door,
and
the door
falls. I need that sound effect. I need that.
I'll get it for you.
Please, Lord. Okay.
We need to take a quick break, but we will come back with more
news.
A little bit more. Mostly album reviews, but more. Yeah.
News!
Nudes!
Nudes? What? Nudes?
Nudes?
Whoa, okay. Don't break an arm jerking yourself off.
Yeah,
Okay. Costs of sound?
We're back. With an edgy Consequence of Sound title. My favorites. No, but a Rick and Morty soundtrack is being released. And Consequence of Sound's headline was, don't break an arm jerking yourself off, but the soundtrack to Rick and Morty is being released. That's cool, because there's actually some very good music made for Rick and Morty, like Goodbye Moon Men from one of the season 2 or 3 episodes.
I don't watch Rick and Morty, so I don't know.
I'm not going to explain the show to you, but if you're a genius, you'd watch it.
With the time that I have.
No, there's a joke that like only super smart people understand the humor of Rick and Morty.
Oh.
It's like, it's, I think, I don't, I want to...
Also, Rick and Morty guy has also turned me off from Rick and Morty. Right. We all know that guy.
I was about to explain that. I forget who said this, but they tweeted out and it was really good. Being a Rick, it was my boy Ken Klippenstein from Young TYT Investigates. He said, being a Rick and Morty fan is like being a male feminist. There's nothing inherently wrong with it, but the people who announce it to you are probably bad.
So Bam's bad.
The people who like introduce themselves by like announcing that is like, that's the problem. It's but like,
how many people did you rape? Are you still on the pay up tour?
Jeez. Yeah, it's like, you're almost overcompensating for it. But Rick and Morty fans are just fucking the worst.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, because that's a good like group of people who like put that show together and they're the direct opposite of that fan base, but you know, that's life.
Right.
Here's another curveball I threw you.
This was a like out of left field. Like this is straight up. You're driving an F1 car and a fan runs on the track and you have to dodge the fan. This is what this was.
No, it's more like you're driving in Formula One and then all of a sudden an elephant just comes on the track.
No, the best thing was this happened in Singapore. There was one of the God damn it, what's the giant fucking lizard that looks like a
iguana?
No. Ones that can eat humans.
I'm gonna Google Singapore and lizard and hope nothing horrible comes up.
Something dragon.
Komodo?
Komodo dragon. There's a Komodo dragon that walked on the fucking track in Singapore in Formula 1. And Max Verstappen goes by, there's a lizard on the track. It's like, what? Apparently there's one on the loose. Just chilling. Those things kind of scare me, low-key.
Oh, totally. We have an iguana at work for some reason, and...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that freaks me the hell out.
Iguanas are dope.
Yeah.
Iguanas are cool.
They're still
if it gets bigger than an iguana, it's like, you might get put down.
It's a big-ass iguana.
Your iguana is huge.
Yeah.
It's probably because you overfeed it.
He used to escape sometimes.
It's trying to escape the grab. Never mind.
It'd be weird. Anyway, so... Semblance is an album that came out by Forma this week. Forma is...
I don't know who the fuck they are.
A band I randomly picked because this is a curveball week.
We went on a list of what albums are coming out. It's like, Forma kind of sounds like a cool name. Click on that. I don't know what this is going to sound like, but let's get it out. It's like kind of cool, actually. It was experimental electronic, like the airy... I don't know what you want to call that.
I would almost call it like... somewhere between ambient and like electronic krautrock rock, almost.
More ambient than anything. Ambient EDM.
Barely even.
Not even ambient electronic music.
Yeah.
That's the best way I could put it.
Like a really, like a calm Dead Mouse song, but like with more percussion and kind of more things going
really
on.
Air and more air.
Yeah.
Which is good, and I do thoroughly enjoy this music a lot, and it's hard to find. There's no real genre of it, and it's usually in mixes, or people will put in and just drop a mixtape on SoundCloud or on YouTube or something like that, and that's how you find them. But that's what happened last week when Scream dropped his single, so it's nice to hear stuff like that. And this, again, now it's a full album.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear...
About 40 minutes long, seven songs. And the songs are mostly pretty long. They're like 5-6 minutes.
Album before, this one goes top to bottom and it flows. And it almost sounds like a straight mix.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's really nice to hear that.
It feels like a complete piece for once, which we said earlier, you don't really get with a lot of albums.
No, honestly, and this anymore. Didn't have like a top half or bottom. No, this just felt like a mix that happens to be an album where they really scraped it together. So you're online looking at what do we review next week?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this.
Like, good Lord. I mean, it's kind of fun to do a curveball to it, be honest, because we are always set to usually do big albums and stuff. And it's been that way, especially in June. It's nice to go, all right, let's have something fun. And good Lord, there's a picture of Dennis Rodman on my computer. Let's not have that.
Yeah,
but before that...
I want to continue talking about the album, because I was just being distracted. I think my favorite song on here might be 3-2,
which is the third song. It was the third song?
Yeah.
Because it felt like a mix, and I listened to it straight through. I don't know what song is what.
Same.
But it's probably... My favorite song is either Cut Up or New York City. Or, sorry, New York City. New City.
You're right.
One of those two, because it was in the bottom half of the album I listened to and I really liked it. So one of those two.
It's really good music.
And honestly, it probably might be both because they're good.
It's really good music to just like chill. Study or chill to or like get work
which,
done
which
to.
Which is my favorite. I mean, you guys know house is my favorite, especially chill house. You know, that underground shit that's just very hard to find. And this is that ambient version of it. So
yeah.
It's really good, especially I like to do a lot of different things with headphones in my ear, like if I'm working on my bikes or other stuff, and this is perfect rocker music.
It's in the back.
Or, you know, you have a girl you fancy, you want to take her home, and, like, you want to chat about poverty or something and make yourself more of a man, and, you know, bring yourself up. You put this in the background, and you're like, who are you listening to, Forma? Oh, who is that? Well,
you see, I'm an intellectual.
See, I'm an intellectual, and I just listen to
I listen to Forma, and I watch Rick and Morty.
All right, you get plus 10 points, and then you get docked 30 after you, you know. What shows you, I like Rick and Morty, she's like, all right, now you try hard. I thought you original, listened to some really random ambient music, now you're just a fucking basic cunt.
It's like you have nice posters of like, I'm not posters, but like, this is how much of a college student I still am. But you have like artwork on your wall of different beautiful scenes done from like the 1700s. And it's like, oh yeah, and you're playing Forma in the background. It's like, oh, this is a man of culture. You sit down, your like table, you have a little teacup and everything.
You're cultured. Yeah.
And you go, my favorite episode of Rick and Morty, Me Seeks and Destroy. Just kills everything.
It's like, I like culture too. You sip teens like, dance nice at all. You say that the girl just ups and leaves. I'd be like, she better leave. If she stays, then
It's like you play through a couple Forma songs, this is good, and immediately after, like, cut up a new city, it just goes Walk It, Talk It.
And then there's just Stir Fry comes on.
Stir Fry is fun.
Okay.
But Walk It, Talk It is just like, it's not a horrible song, but just like, that's very different.
It's bad.
Yeah. Stir Fry is literally designed to be the most poppy trap song imaginable.
And then there's Bad Bitches Only, which is a good song.
Yeah.
Okay, those are...
I was doing karaoke last night, and on the lyrics was the ad lib, was the rap tag.
There are rap tags on the lyrics?
Yeah.
If that happened to me, I would have scream laughed. Because I would have done 21 Savage and just heard, I'm like, I want the most ridiculous ones because at 90. If it had that and it's in parentheses, like italic, and it says at 90 for that rap tag, I would have like fell over scream laughing.
We did,
Oh my God.
We did Nice For What by Drake, and yeah, that's done by Murda Beats. And so the first lyric was Murda on the beat.
It's like, Murda on the, no, you gotta do.
Murda
no.
on that beat.
Go dead ass. I wanna see just what is he saying? That ass, that ass, badass, dead cats, smell ass, I don't know.
Big brass.
Big brass.
No gas.
Fake ass. I'll be like, that's what he's saying. Remember what happened? Okay, best. This is, we're on such a tangent, but this is Audio Face Podcast.
It's a podcast. We can do tangents.
Fuck it, my podcast. When we did karaoke the first time ever and we did Go to Sleep, we legit looked at each other and in the middle of the song, like, oh, that's what he said. Like, legit, we just go, oh, that's what he says. And then we go back to the song. Bam is back there in the fucking corner to start scream laughing because he's like, Jesus Christ. I go, I don't know, Tom York.
It's Radiohead.
I don't know what the fuck he's saying half the time.
At a certain point, just like wail and make syllables.
The new album by Radiohead.
That's where that joke comes from. Semblance, I would give 8 petrodollars.
Yeah, 7 or 8.
Yeah, I feel like 7's too. I mean, petrodollars, nothing's too low. 1 petrodollar is like, this is a lot of dollars.
Thank you for getting the joke on petrodollar. Because, like, you give it, I remember you gave Jam 10, I'm like, that's like the half
and
of the
I
wealth.
And I stand by it.
That's the half of the wealth of Qatar.
That's like a tenth of the wealth of Qatar. That's the wealth of Qatar we know about.
So true. Man.
That's the wealth of Qatar.
Dude, you know what fucking Qatar is? It's like, I'm gonna sponsor PSG so I can buy Neymar.
I'm gonna buy a Neymar island.
Buy Neymar an island so that way he goes and plays for my team and flops and pretends his ankle got cut up. But then Alex Ovechkin in hockey gets his fucking face rocked by a puck and he just sniffs at it like, oh.
You need a sports show.
I really need a sports show because I would keep it real with everything in sports. Also, being a professional athlete, that helps. Especially on doping, I go hard on that because I actually have to deal with USADA. Anybody else who talks about it is a cunt and they don't know what they're dealing with. Sean, pee in a bottle. That's great. Cool. Thanks.
You sort of taught me. What do you rank this? How many petrodollars? Oh yeah, you said 8.5. Yeah, you did. You did. Mostly good. It just plays really well all together.
Dennis Rodman.
And now we always like to end our face on a fun note by mentioning some ridiculous story. Dennis Rodman is inviting Kanye West to come with him to North Korea.
I'm down. Can they both get arrested and just like sent to Gulag? Fuck it. Because then I want Kanye's new album to be made in a Gulag with Dennis Rodman.
Chopping up beats from the sunken place. I can make rice patties with an 808 machine.
I don't even think they can. I don't even think North Korea can give them rice patties. They don't have the wealth. I was supposed to go like on a tangent. But It's time to break.
We're at the end of the episode. You can go on a tangent because we're at the end of the episode and probably 10 people are listening at this point.
But. Okay, I was going to say, you know, why they have the wealth of that is because the U.S. bombed the shit out of it and there's literally no more targets to bomb because we flattened North Korea and that's why they hate us.
They hate us for our freedom is what you're saying.
They hate us because they ain't us.
They hate us because they ain't.
That movie's about North Korea. That's the best part.
So much of that film, including...
That film was so bad. I don't remember what it was called.
It was The Interview.
The Interview. Yeah, there you go. So bad. What year did that come out? 2015?
Yeah, 2014, 2015. And honey dicking was the phrase from that.
Yes.
And I was the entire time you were hearing about that fact that there was a Russian agent who infiltrated the NRA and a couple of conservative groups, I'm like, hey, they're getting honey dicked.
They're
getting honey dicked.
Totally forgot about honey dicking.
Never forget about honey
dicking. Honey dicking. Kim Jong. No. All right, that was Audio Face 57. Thanks for listening if you made it this far. I mean, it was a short episode. There wasn't too much to talk about.
But, you know, I like these episodes because, and this is something I didn't get to say earlier, but...
Keep us sane.
It keeps us sane. It's part of, like, a good thing about this podcast. We don't do a lot of, like, music discovery episodes. We haven't done that in a while. Or, like, recommendations things. And maybe we should do that soon. But this is a nice way
We should actually do that soon.
Because there's not a lot of big names coming out, you have to listen to... kind of whatever's out there, and that's how you branch out. I'm gonna listen to more of the internet now. Forma doesn't seem to make albums ever, but like I'm gonna listen to more of their shit. And it's, yeah, so great to not hear anything having to do with trap for a week.
Yeah, by the way, we're not reviewing Kenny Chesney. I'm hard passing on.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a country artist. I'm hard passing on country because I just don't want to deal with it.
We should definitely do one, like we should review like the biggest country album of the year. Maybe at the end of the year or something, and try.
YG comes out with the album 3rd of August.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Oh, God. And Mac Miller.
Oh, God. And Mac Miller. Oh, no.
So next week, I was thinking R.L. Grimes for sure.
R.L. Grimes. I'm down.
But
oh, God. We got Nicki Minaj 10th of August, too. Oh, Lord.
You know, it's going to be a month of music. Oh, we got the Plain White Tees, which still exists.
That still exists. Wow.
Weren't they a Nickelodeon band?
I think so, right?
Yeah. No, I think they appeared on like Drake and Josh once.
I just haven't heard that song in a long time.
Hey There, Delilah? Or what song?
No, like I haven't, sorry, not song. I haven't heard them in a long time.
Well, I guess
I guess I'm forced to, so. I'm just looking at all this stuff. Now I'm in September. I'm ahead of myself.
It's just right ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I'm listening. Just looking at like if anything wild is coming up, but like decent stuff.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. Learn to work and play. And get
hey, 20th of September, Roosevelt's coming out, so.
Yeah, fall's gonna be great. This is a tangent now. Thank you so much for listening this far, if you literally have. I would have skipped this intro personally. And we'll be back next week.
Cheers. Bye.